Let's go ahead and welcome everyone watching on the internet right now. Good morning. God bless you wherever you are. We celebrate you as a part of our church family. Wherever you are, I heard this morning that there's a group of college students in Lithuania watching. So hello to you and God bless you guys. Amen. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would please. Hold those up in the air and repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Go and open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We are starting a new series this whole month on relationships, social life, social life. Get it? Life, church, social. See how we did that like that? And that's really funny. I thought so. Okay. Our desire is to help us as Life Church be great at relationships. This series is going to involve friendship relationships. It'll involve relationships with your family. It'll involve relationships with your spouse. But it's not limited to just husbands and wives, although we will get into that throughout this month. Our core values here, we say it all the time, is we want you to be strong in the Word of God. We want you to be strong in the moving of the Holy Spirit of God in your personal life and in the world around you. And we want you to be strong in relationships. A few months ago, I taught a one-day message on relationships, and I really discovered what a desire so many people had to hear more about what the Bible says on relationships. It's something that affects all of us. Our relationships is what life's really about. It's who we interact with. We are always interacting with people on a consistent basis. And we can get better at doing relationships well. So many times, we always look at the world and see how badly people do relationships, and we've even been hurt by people who've done relationships poorly. But rather than letting the devil shrink us back and to isolate ourselves, let's be that change in the culture. Let's do relationships well, and let's model that to the world around us. Remember, you're the salt, and you're the light. You're the city on the hill. We are the change agents in the world, correct? So if there's a deficiency in the world, it goes back to the responsibility of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. Darkness acts like darkness. But the kingdom of light, we need to learn how to walk in light as he is in the light, and then we can help our culture learn a new and better way. And then we can teach our kids these ways, and they can teach their kids. And though the world may not change overnight, it will change over time if we do things the way the Lord has told us to do them. Can I get an amen on that? Good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. This is the book of beginnings. For those of you that are new to church, new to the Bible, this is how God has wired us up so that you can see the purpose of a thing. This is where God creates man in his image. Then the Lord God said, verse 18, it is not good for man to be alone. Now underline that in your Bibles. It is not good for man or mankind to be alone. Now this is the first time in Scripture that God had said something he made wasn't good. Or wasn't complete. He had said, let there be light, and he had separated light from darkness. He had said, let the dry land appear, and he separated the water and the dry land and the waters from the heavens and the waters of the earth. And he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. And in this first time out of the mouth of God, he said something wasn't good. And that is that his creation of man was isolated, was alone. Now, in this series, I want to talk to you. The Bible doesn't say here that it's not good for man to be single. It says it's not good for man to be alone. We thrive in community. We thrive in interaction with other human beings. Are you understanding? Now, you may find yourself single for any number of reasons. You may be single because you've never been married. You may be single because a marriage didn't work out. You may be single because a spouse passed away and you're still here and someday you'll be reunited with them in eternity. Hallelujah for that. But you currently are in a single place. The idea here is not about being single, it's about being isolated and alone. Just because you're not married, just because you don't have that spouse that's alive or here, doesn't mean that it's healthy for you to stay in your home, stay by yourself, and stop interacting with the world around you. Or, for those of you that are single, looking to be married, that you wait to thrive or you wait to connect until one day you find that Mr. Right or that Mrs. Right, Miss Right, because if she was Mrs., then you couldn't marry. Anyway, never mind, sorry. My mind just went there for a second. We are meant to intentionally connect, intentionally be involved. I can show you through Scripture dozens of cases where God used single people to change the world. God used people with that amount of extra time, that amount of care, that they could focus what other people might care for their family or need to care for their spouse. They could care for the needs of other people because they're not distracted. They're focused. They have more available time and energy to give to some other great works. And so you are extremely powerful and extremely significant, even if you are currently in a single state. Can I get an amen on that? Absolutely. But in this, God says it's not good for you to be alone. Even though you're single, do not let yourself become isolated. Amen. And so God says it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So out of the ground, the Lord formed the beast of the field, every bird of the sky, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, all the birds of the sky, and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God put him into a deep sleep, and so he fell asleep. And he took one of his ribs, closed up that place of the flesh. The Lord God fashioned into woman the rib, which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "Wow, man." Which is where the word woman comes from. It's just my belief system. I'm just telling you. This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called, wow, man, woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so God said, look, there's no other created thing on the earth that brings the help that mankind needs. Other animals, other created things. Human beings need interaction with other human beings. And even that word helper there, if you look into some of the rabbinical teachings on that word helper, it actually means someone who thinks differently than Adam, or who thinks differently or has another point of view. And so there's even a sense of conflict built into the relationship Adam would have with Eve. It doesn't mean that God wanted them to argue over petty little things, but what it means is other people are important to your life, even for the fact that other people see things differently than you see them. They see the other side of a story, so that when you come together and you talk about it and even challenge one another, you can begin to see the whole picture so that you're not blindsided by something. Being in healthy relationships is so important for us to thrive. In order for you to not be self-centered and to begin to worship yourself and to be able to nurture and meet the needs of other people and take care of them, for them to talk into your life, for you to be able to share into their life, for you to do life with them, God intended everyone to be in a healthy relationship in places of community. It's not okay for you to be by yourself. Even in the garden, you could say, well, some people, when they go to isolation, they just say, it's just me and God. But you see, Adam had just him and God time, and God said, that's not sufficient, Adam. You still need other human interaction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? In order to become the full, complete version of who I see you to be, you need other human interaction. You must become social beings. You were created to be social beings. Some people say, but I'm not good at being social. That's why we're learning this today, because we can all become good and better and even great at what God has designed us to be. Are you understanding? Just because maybe your family wasn't social, just because you think by nature you're not social, the truth is, in creation, God formed us to be social beings, which means it's inside of us. You are capable of great relationships. You are capable of doing relationships and community very, very well. I read this. It was a survey that was done a few years back. I read it a few months ago when I did this series on relationships, but it has such a poignant statement or way of showing us that we were made for relationships. I want to read it to you again. One of the most thorough research projects completed on relationships was an Alameda County study headed by a Harvard social scientist. The study tracked the lives of 7,000 people over 9 years. Researchers found that the most isolated people were 3 times more likely to die early than those with strong relational connections. See, you were made for relationships. You thrive in relationships. People who continued even bad health habits, things like smoking, poor eating habits, obesity, or alcohol use, but had strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits but lived in isolation. In other words, it is better to eat cookies with good friends than vegetables alone. Amen. Harvard researcher Robert Putnam notes that if you do not belong to any group, and you decide to join one, you cut your risk of dying over the next year in half. That's a huge statement, my friend. We were made for relationships. God designed us to be part of a community. And that's why the devil always tries to get you out of one. You know, the Bible says the devil comes like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you want to know, over the years of ministry, who I've seen gets devoured the fastest and the easiest? It's the people who isolate themselves from the body of Christ. It's the people who isolate themselves in the middle of a burden, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a journey, in the middle of a failure. You understand? Because you are not the best counselor for yourself when you're going through crisis and problems. You need those other people praying for you. You need those other people telling you truth when you start believing lies. The thing about deception that's so problematic is it's so deceiving. Okay, and you don't know you're in deception, but other people can see things without the emotion or the sting of what you're going through. We thrive in community. We need relationships. We must learn to be great at being social and having good, solid relationships. So in this series, I want you to buy into a few belief systems. I want to hopefully convince you of a few things and make it a part of what you're believing God for, bring us into an understanding together. Number one is this: I was made for relationships. I want you to accept that thought. That's not Pastor Kevin saying it just for himself. Those of you watching online, I want you to understand you were made for relationships. God, in the beginning, when he made Adam, he said it's not good for him to be alone. He needs other human interaction. You were made for relationships, which means if you're not interacting with other people, if you're allowing the enemy to isolate you, you are not at your high capacity level. You were made for more than isolation. Can I get an amen on that? Number two, I want you to accept this thought. I thrive in healthy relationships. That's something that can even become a positive confession in your life. I thrive. That God not only made me to have relationships, but I will begin to thrive in interacting with other people. Sometimes we buy into a lie that says, I thrive better when I'm on my own, just me and a good book and a cup of coffee. Now, that's a pretty good place, let's be honest. But it's not where you need to be all the time. You must have other interaction. You thrive in healthy relationships. Number three, another thought, healthy relationships are a high priority in my life. You'll never do anything long term. You'll never make the sacrifice for something until you buy into the fact it's a priority for you. Whatever you prioritize is what you set the money aside for. It's what you set your time aside for. It's what you begin to think about. And what you begin to think about, your life goes in the direction of your most dominant thoughts. Are you understanding this? So if your most dominant thoughts are saying, I'm better alone, I'm better isolated, guess what's going to happen to your life? You're going to isolate your life. And you are going to contradict what God said about you, and that is you need to be in community, and you need to be in a body, you need to be in the family. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is a lie, and it will destroy you. Lies always destroy and steal from us. And so you must come to this place of understanding healthy relationships are a high priority for my life. And in making them a priority, you'll pay the price, count the cost, you'll work the work and the effort to make sure your relationships in your life are healthy. Healthy relationships, one of the reasons they're a high priority in your life, and to remember this, is they are the why behind the what you do. Sometimes we forget, in the middle of being busy at work and making all this money or trying to climb the ladder of success, that life is about the people that we share life with. Money for money's sake is not hopefully what your life is about. To collect a bunch of dollar bills and $100 bills around and cuddle them and talk to them, and we're going to go out together and have dinner together, and we're going to go on vacation, me and my bag of money. You understand? The reason we work is so that we can abundantly supply and provide for the people that we want to spend time with and the people we love. Hopefully, on the other side of all that work is people. On the other side of your pursuit of getting up in the morning to what you do during the day, you must be able to connect the dots to the why behind the what. Why do you work all those extra hours? A lot of you, you're working two different jobs, you're working 60 to 80 hours a week. But when you remember the why behind the what, the what you do is I work and I've got to get this done, but the why behind the what is the people that I love. It's the people I want to be involved with. I want to go on vacations with them. I want to be able to go out and have fun with them, go bowling with them, go to the movies with them, take my kids out to a nice dinner, pay for their education, provide food and clothes for them. But it's all about people. Are you understanding? It's not about fame. It's not about ego. It's about people. So again, why are healthy relationships having that perspective? It's for us to realize why we do what we do. But then at the same time, it puts a boundary, or it puts a good healthy guardrail on us that says, look, if I'm doing all this working and I'm making all this money, but I'm not spending time with the people I love, then I'm also missing my priority. Are you understanding? Because I'm gone all the time. I'm trying to buy this and buy that, and it's literally taking away the very thing that life is supposed to be about. Life is supposed to be about the people that I get to live life with. Are you understanding? And so it begins to say, wait a minute, this is imbalanced. I'm not spending enough time with the people that I love, so I need to adjust some other things, because my life is not about getting promoted. My life is not about making more money. My life is about the community of people that I get to hang out with and be with and make good memories with. So I'm not saying don't work. I'm saying remember why you work. But then I'm also saying don't let work take away the very thing of which you're working for. You stay in balance. Can I get an amen on that? Good. Now, some research that I was studying this week kind of concluded that human beings have between 7 and 9 close connections outside family in their life. That's a good, healthy number. Some people have a few more. Some people have a few less. But most of us have between 7 and 9 decent other connections that we would consider our best relationships. So the people that you'd want to go to baseball games with, people that you would want to go maybe on vacation with, people you want to go out with and have some fun with. Most of us have also about 150 larger groups of circles that you might invite to a wedding, or you might invite to some big event, graduation ceremony, something like that. But they're not necessarily your close friends, but they're kind of your orbit of relationships. And so it's just kind of interesting statistically to see that, whether or not it plays true in your life outside your family. And I've seen that even in weddings that I've done. Most weddings run about 150 in attendance. They invite about 200, about 150 attend. And it's really interesting how that actually kind of works itself out. The reason I bring that up is this. All of us are normal. All of us have some of this going on. But our focus now is, how do I create within those 7 to 9 relationships, how do I make sure that they're excellent? How do I make sure that those are super healthy? Now, in your life, some of those 7 or 9 are going to come in and out. They move away. But you know what happens? God brings a couple more in. Isn't that great? And some things come in, and they normally might come from that 150, or they might come from a whole new group, but you pretty much will have about that size. You know, interesting statistic also, some of the people that are most satisfied with their relationships, the people that are 60 years and older are the most satisfied in their friendships. I thought that was kind of a cool statistic as well. The ones that are least satisfied, 30s and 40s. Just interesting information as you do some study. I want to talk to you about how to make the relationships that you currently have exceptional and even better. My healthy relationships are not other people's responsibility. They're my responsibility. See, again, so many times in life, we point the finger at everyone else who's hurt us, who's done relationship wrong. And so that's why the devil tries to talk you into a corner, to back away from building healthy relationships, put you into a place of fear, put you into a place of isolation. If you want to have healthy relationships, look at what you can do to form healthy relationships, and healthy relationships will be the result. My goal is to have healthy relationship skills, not thousands of relationships. See, sometimes when people are trying to be friends with everybody, you don't do good with a handful. And it's important that we focus on those that are in our current family or immediate family, and we do relationship with them really well. And we do relationships well with maybe that 7 or 8 that we're doing well. And I'm not asking you to not let people in your group. You can always let people in. But what I'm saying is, my goal is not to have 1,000 friends. My goal is to do the relationships I have in front of me very, very well. And as I learn to do those relationships extremely well, as God continues to expand my influence or expand your influence, meet more and more people, because I've created the habits that cause healthy relationships, then I can continue to receive new relationships, and they're going to be healthy because I've developed proper relationship skills, proper relationship habits, which is what I want to encourage you to learn. Proper relationship skills and habits. Again, I want your goal in this series, when we talk about being social life, the goal is not getting more and more and more friends, even on Facebook, right? I've got thousands of friends on Facebook. You don't have thousands of friends on Facebook. I wish that you had a different word other than the word friend on Facebook, because friend has to do with interaction. Friend has to do with with relationship that involves more than 120 characters. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Like, it's learning how to do friendship well. That's our goal in this series. It's not having 1,000 friends. It's taking the friendships that God's going to introduce you to, that are going to come in and out of your life, and you just have this natural ability, you do, to create good friendship. And you're not waiting for people to come into your life and just fix it all, and hopefully they're just better friends than the last people. But you're learning how to develop those long-lasting relationships. You're learning how to create that atmosphere. You're setting the tone of the relationships in your life. And because you've learned the skills and you're confident that you know how to build good relationships, you're not intimidated when someone comes in and does them wrong. And it doesn't destroy you, because you can also read why that person isn't connecting. You can understand why that person is isolating themselves and why they're so hostile. And you're not sitting there always taking it in on yourself all the time, because people are going to come in and out of that circle. It's just going to happen. But you know how to do relationship. You've learned how to do relationship. You're good at doing relationship. It's a priority in your life. You know you're a good friend no matter what they say. You've tried to be a good friend. And so they can walk in, they can walk out, but it doesn't throw you, because you just continue to sow good relationships, and good relationships is what you reap. Can I get an amen on that, anybody? Man, I'm enjoying myself, and so hopefully you're going to enjoy this as well. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, we apply it in so many different contexts, but I want you to apply it in this area of friendship and relationship. Verse 7, do not be under the illusion, any of you, you cannot make a fool of God. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on the seeds he sows. If he sows for his lower nature, his harvest will be of decay and death of his own nature. But if he sows for the Spirit, he will reap the harvest of everlasting life by that Spirit. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for unless we throw in our hand, the ultimate harvest is assured. Let us then do good to all men, as opportunity offers, especially those who belong to the Christian household. Key points in this. We've talked about a man will reap what he sows. I love, this is the Phillips translation. I love how he says, your harvest in life is completely dependent on the seeds that you sow. One thing I love about the law of sowing and reaping is I can change what's in my field. If you've had bad relationships around you and all this stuff in your field, you can, by a choice of your will and actions, you can begin to sow quality relationship, quality friendship, and given time, you will reap quality relationships, quality friendship. Now, you can sow into some people and you may not reap that quality relationship from them, but that's okay, because you just have learned every day, every week, every month, how to treat people well, how to listen to people well, how to forgive well, how to respond and love well, and you just keep sowing. Other people may not receive it. Other people may not be the harvest you're looking for, but my friend, it's biblical law. You will eventually reap exactly what you've sown. Some people sow sin and they think they're getting away with sin, but you will reap from that sin at some point. Eventually, you will reap what you sow. Which is why it's not, well, I tried being nice to this one person. I tried what Pastor Kevin said in releasing and forgiving and serving and they weren't nice to me. That's not what I'm saying. That's where I love what it says here in Galatians. It says, it talks about, let us not grow tired of sowing. See, because there's times in our life that we get tired of doing the right thing. And you get hurt and you're still doing the right thing. And you get disappointed and you're still doing the right thing. But my friends and those watching on the internet right now, if you continue to sow quality love and relationship, you will reap quality love and relationships in your life. Give God praise for his word on that. Amen. If you choose isolation, if you choose to quit and you write the world off, you will receive from that lower nature as well. You will reap what you've sown in that, which is not what we want. A person that makes their goal to be a quality friend will eventually be rewarded with quality friendships around them. Other people that have like similar spirits as you will begin to identify and witness with your spirit. They will see the grace you walk in. They will see the humility you walk in. They will see the forgiveness and mercy that you walk in. They will see the loyalty that you walk in, and something in them will resonate and begin to gather into your gravity. It's just the way it works. And all of a sudden, birds of a feather begin to flock together. Amen. All these little nursery quotes, birds of a feather, they do. So you better make sure your feathers are good feathers. Because you're going to collect people that are just like you. Are you understanding? And so if you make yourself the best version of you, quality people like you will gather. It's part of the sowing and the reaping. Amen. Which is why my goal is not 1,000 friends. My goal is to be a quality friend, and I know I will reap quality friends as I become who I'm supposed to be, rather than blaming others for what they should have been and weren't. Man, that was so deep and powerful. Amen, Pastor Kevin. That was awesome. You're welcome. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. There is a friend that sticks closer than the brother. Let's talk about developing quality friends and being a quality friend. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. You know, we reap what we sow, basically. So we're going to talk about sowing and showing. Sowing and showing. We were talking, we got to sow friendship. Let's talk about what seeds we sow. Let's talk about showing relationship, showing quality relationship and friendship. Let's talk about that, because if we want to have friends in our life, people that are healthy and connected and that sense of community in our life, then there's certain things about being friendly that we need to do. It's different. There's people who want friends, and then there are people who are friendly, right? There's a difference between I want friends and I'm sowing friendship. We have to move from a position of this is what I want. Same thing with finance. Same thing with anything. So I want God to bless me financially. Well, God says then sow resources, and there's a blessing that is involved in that. You see, there's actions that we can do. It's not just bless me and then I do, right? And it's not give me friendship and then I sow friendship. It's sow friendship and I reap friendship. And so the Bible here, very similar thing in Proverbs where it says people that have friends must show themselves friendly. We have to show friendship. We have to show healthy relationship. Amen? So what does that mean? What does that look like? Great relationships. Now I'm going to get into some practical application in my last few moments. Practical application. Hopefully I've painted the picture of our goal, where we're headed. Practical applications, ways to sow friendship, ways to show friendship. We can all basically agree, because we've heard it before, and it's still true. Just because we've heard it 1,000 times doesn't make it not true, doesn't make it not important. Matter of fact, the fact that we hear it all the time means it's extremely important, because it's the number one priority in any relationship. If I said, what's the number one key in every relationship, most of you would yell out, communication. You hear it all the time in marriage conferences. You hear it all the time when it comes to your children. When it comes to even friendship and relationships around you, communication is number one priority in having healthy relationships. Some people say, oh, it's having a good time. Some people say it's shared interests. There will be no healthy relationships without healthy communication. You can have fun with some people. You can chum around with some people. But long-lasting, deep, great, fulfilling relationships are going to involve communication. Amen? So good communication. Let's understand really quickly here the idea of the purpose of communication. You can say it in a marriage. What I'm about to tell you is going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your relationships with your children. And it will affect your relationships with the people at your coworkers and the world around you. This skill. The skills I want to tell you right now will help all of these areas of relationship. Communication. The key of communication. What is communication? Why do we communicate? And in every broken relationship, you'll find out that there is a breakdown in communication. The goal of communication is understanding. That's the goal of communication. It is not speaking. It is understanding. And when you realize if every relationship is anchored in communication, then that means there needs to be a desire to understand. Not to just tell them like you see it. Tell them what's on your mind. Tell them what makes you angry. Tell them, rah, you know, you're like, I'm communicating. Rah! That's not communicating. That's yelling. The goal of communication is understanding. The goal of a telephone is that the person on the other end can understand what it is you're trying to say. Amen. The goal of communication, even when I preach or teach on a weekend, my goal is not the sermon. My goal is not that I can hear myself speak for 45 minutes. My goal is that you would understand what I'm trying to communicate. That you would hear what it is I'm trying to say. That the picture would be painted for you so you can see it clearly. That's healthy relationships. It's that I can describe the things in my heart in an effective way so that you can understand who I am, what I'm trying to say, but then also that I can understand who you are and what you're trying to say. It's not, healthy relationships are built with a desire to say, I want to understand you. Not only do I want you to understand me, but I want to understand you. I want to understand my spouse. I want to understand my children. And I don't just want to boss my kids around with rules. I want them to understand the why behind those things so that they can understand why I want to protect them and why I want to love them. And so it's not just yelling. I communicate to my kids. Explanation is key. Communication is about understanding. And the same thing with your friends. When they hurt you and you just react to that, are we communicating why we're hurt? Do we even understand why we're hurt? And are we able to communicate to them about that hurt so that they can understand that they hurt you? And maybe they're trying to communicate something back. Are you listening so that you understand their communication, or are you just hearing it as an attack or as abuse and the devil will separate the relationship and sever the relationship? The goal in communication is, would you say it with me, what? Understanding. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. Woo! Also means I did a good job communicating that. Yay, Pastor Kevin. Okay. Now, sometimes we shrink things down to communication, and we shrink them down to, I'm trying to communicate, you know, all these different things. I'm trying to communicate this certain idea, this desire that I have. Can we zoom out for a little bit? And in healthy relationships, there's one overreaching idea that we're trying to communicate, and this is what it is. The overreaching idea that we try to communicate in having healthy relationships with our spouse, with our kids, with other people is this. I want them to understand that I love them. I want them to understand that I value them. I want them to understand I appreciate them. I want them to understand that they are safe in my relationship with them. You know, if we look at it, as what am I trying to communicate to the people in my circle, the people in my relationships? I am trying to help them understand that they are loved. I'm trying to help them understand they're valued, that I'm not going anywhere. I'm committed to you. And I want them to hear that. And in hearing that, the foundation of healthy relationships can withstand anything. You can go through tough times. You can go through a loss of a job. You can go through a loss of a family member. You can go through even personal failure where they personally fail and you still can communicate to them, I am here for you. I am going to help you out of that pit. But also when you fail, you don't run away, but you can communicate because you want to hear the same thing back. When you fail, that you're safe in their relationship, that they're committed to you and they still love you. You see what I mean? If you zoom out, the largest thing that any healthy relationship needs to communicate to each other is, I love you, I'm here for you, I'm not going to leave you or forsake you, I'm proud of you, I value you. It's all that stuff that builds healthy, long-lasting, thriving relationships. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is huge. I want to understand what they're trying to say. I want to understand what I'm trying to say. I want them to understand I love them. I want to understand they love me. I need to understand how I operate. I need to understand how they operate. I need to understand how I give and receive love. They need to understand how they give and receive love so that we're communicating on the same page. There is a book that has been out for a long time called The Five Love Languages. How many of you have ever read it or heard about it? Great. Sometimes when books are familiar, we take those things and we just let them slip to the side and don't remember how vitally important they really are. The principle behind The Five Love Languages is basically human beings give and receive love in about five different ways. Now, social science may increase or decrease that in the years to come, but I do think it's a general quality average that these five areas are how we as human beings feel what I just said. Listen, five love languages. These five areas is how we feel or sense that we're loved, that we are valued, that we are safe in that relationship, that they are committed to us, and then how we communicate to them in these love languages, how we communicate to them to a point of understanding that they are safe with us, that they are loved by us, that they are free to fail or succeed, and I'm not going anywhere. And through these five expressions of communication, they understand that overreaching principle of love, and I'm committed to you. So let me really quickly give you those five, and then we're going to talk about it just for a brief moment. Number one, words of affirmation. Some of you are people that you thrive and you need these words of affirmation. That makes you feel loved. That makes you feel safe. That makes you feel valued. That makes you feel like someone is proud of you and they're that they're there for you because you hear them say it verbally, that they're there for you. Quality time would be number two. Some of you, you need extra time. You need people to be in your circle. You need people to be there face to face. You need them in your company. Gifts are another one. Where when someone blesses you with something out of the ordinary or extraordinary, it just does something, it touches you in a certain way that it communicates to you, I love you, I'm committed to you, you're important to me. It's that overreaching thing of understanding. You now are understanding what they're trying to say in that expression. Touch would be another one. Touch can be things like holding of your hand, an arm on your shoulder, a slap on the back, like a pat on the back or a hug. Acts of service would be the final one. Number five, acts of service. Some of us, we sense that people are for us. They are committed to us because of the way they've blessed us. They washed our car. They mowed our lawn. They took care of my kids when I was in the hospital. Who knows what might have happened? But man, it really communicates to you a sense of safety. Now, the truth is, whatever your love language is, now you can be a mixture of a few of them. Hopefully you become well-versed in all of them. But most of us were born with some predominant or some dominant ones of these. But typically, whatever your love language is how you're trying to speak to the other person. So if you're a words of affirmation person, you're trying to communicate, I love you and I'm committed to you and I'm not going to leave you with all this praise and affirmation. But if they are an acts of service person, they may still feel like you don't love them. You're not committed, but you're saying with one expression, I'm committed, I love you, don't be afraid, but they're not hearing it because you're speaking different languages. I'm going to have these individuals, why don't you guys come on up, I'm going to illustrate this for you really quickly. So if you'll come on up, we're going to just do a quick illustration to kind of show you how important this is. So come on up. All right, get in a line, and I'm going to have them, each of them have a specific piece of information. Go ahead and scoot this way just a bit so we can be even here. Go ahead, perfect, stop. Please communicate to each other what it is you're trying to say in the language that you're trying to communicate it in. Go.
징계와
Fui atacada por pingüines azules enojados.
징계와 파이샤.
다보 마마 수쿠비네스 바타스.
Sí. Habe kein mehr Kuhn.
Habe Mama Sukovines Bates.
Sie haben kein Muhin. Sie haben kein Muhin.
All right. Now let me show you exactly what they were trying to say to each other. Would you please turn your sheets around? All right, give them a hand. Go ahead and have a seat. You can take it with you. Each of them were speaking a different language. Each of them were trying to communicate something. Now, if you don't speak that language, they're not going to understand what it is you're trying to say until you speak it in the language that they understand. Do you understand that? What happens sometimes with some people is they have a specific love language that they're trying to communicate their loyalty, their commitment, their value of the other person in. And so we think, because we don't understand it, it's an actual language barrier. They try to speak their language louder and think this person's going to understand it because they just do it more. You see what I'm saying? A husband, works of service, is saying, why don't you feel loved? I know, I'll mow the lawn, I'll paint the house, I'll provide, do this, I'll work even harder, I'll shout in my language louder. And then she'll hear it and understand it. But if she doesn't speak that language, it doesn't matter that you do more of it, right? It matters that you understand the language barrier and that you understand you need to speak in a language that she can hear, she can understand. Your kids have different languages. People at your workplace have different love languages. The relationships that you have in that 7 to 8 to 9 groupings, all of them are wired in certain ways. And so if the goal is communication and then the goal of communication is understanding, then I need to be good at interpreting and discerning what language they speak. Now you can have this idea of, well, they need to learn my language. But again, this talk is about what you can do to sow quality relationships rather than telling everybody else what they should do to be a good friend to you. Here's the other thing about language. You cannot be upset that someone was born into a different language than you. It's not a deficiency in them. You see what I'm saying? It's like telling someone who speaks Spanish that that's a deficiency because they weren't born to speak English. That's ridiculous and it's prejudice and it's wrong. You understand? Because someone is born with a specific bend to a love language, to a certain language, and it's not yours, doesn't mean their language isn't valid, doesn't mean their language isn't important to them, and you can't get mad at them. It's the way they were made. And so you have a choice to make. You can sit around and whine until they learn your language, or you can take the initiative and say, I will learn to speak all 5 languages, and I will learn to do them well. Because I don't know who I'm going to interact with. I don't know who's going to come in and out of my life. And you want to know a great gift of the Spirit that we have? One of the gifts of the Spirit is called the discerning of spirits. And I believe you can use that in a practical way in order to build quality relationships with the people around you and say, Lord, I want to be fluent in all 5 love languages. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm an acts of service. Everyone else just needs to get on board. Or I'm a quality time. You all just need to sort yourselves out. I can learn a physical language if I take time and energy and effort. I can learn love languages if I make time for it and I spend effort in doing it. And then God can give me discerning of spirits to know what language my child is speaking right now or what language I need to speak to my child right now that they will then understand what I'm trying to say or how I can understand what they're trying to say. Or a coworker in the office or a boss that's all upset. I can sit here and ask the Lord, give me discerning of spirits because I understand that they have a specific way of hearing that I am committed, that I am faithful, that I love them and they are valued. My coworkers, my team, maybe you're building a team under you of coaches or teachers or salespeople. How all of them have a language. And if we become good, excellent, at understanding they have a way of hearing things and feeling that sense of appreciation and value and love and commitment, if I can become well-versed in all 5 and not just limit myself to 1 or 2, if I can become well-versed and I can discern what language they need me to speak at this time to feel what it is they need to feel and to sense what they need to sense. And I can hear them, but then I can also discern my own spirit as well. If I know what my own dominant languages are, I also know why or what I need in specific relationships to feel safe as well, like they're committed to me. And I can even help them. You know, just like if you go, we go to Florida sometimes and with Maria's family, and Graciela speaks Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, and Maria has never learned it either. And so Graciela helps us out. She'll stand behind the person that's speaking to us in Spanish, because in Miami, they're all Cuban, a bunch of them are Cuban, and so they'll be talking to us in Spanish, like, and we know what to do. We smile and nod. And Graciela's behind them saying, like, do this, do this. And, you know, she's giving us cues of what to do, okay, so that we know how to interpret, you know, what's going on there. Well, similarly, in our own lives, it's important that we know what we need. We need to know what we need in order to understand what's going on and understand how to help us feel valued and connected in that relationship. We need help knowing what we need and even helping them know. So we can easily look at someone and say, hey, my relationship with you right now feels strained because we haven't spent quality time together in a long time. Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling about our relationship? We haven't been together in a while. Or you haven't told me anything nice in a little while. Do you even like me? I could sure use that right now. You see, so now you're not just letting the relationship devolve. You also know what language you can tell them and help them speak for you so that you can feel connected and loved and valued and solid in that relationship. Are you understanding that? So we could become better. We could become excellent. Our desire is to learn how to communicate in all of these languages and to not limit it and say that's their job to learn my language, but rather I am going to learn their language and I'm going to be skilled in all of these languages. Now, I'm going to close this down now, but I want to also make this application. These five love languages, quality time, verbal affirmation, acts of service, touch, all these things. It's not just about the language and trying to communicate. It's also the very things that build long-lasting relationship. Learning how to communicate in all five of these is so important for powerful, solid relationships. Just speaking isn't going to get it done. That's why a long-distance relationship on a telephone, you need some face-to-face time. You need someone, you need to be able to feel that hand on your shoulder at times. You need to be able to spend time together in the same room to build those things. These things are not just about talking. They're also about how we were wired to push us and cement us together in lasting, solid relationships. So learning these five love languages and how to use them and when to say them and when we're deficient in one area and when that area needs to be worked on. Don't look at it like I'm a words of affirmation, that's what I am. That you're boxing yourself in. Look at all five of these languages as things that we want to excel in, because as we excel in them and as we cause those things to happen as well, because we can see that we've been deficient or lax on specific areas of those, that in doing all five of those languages is how long-lasting quality relationships are formed. You need to bless one another with gifts. That we do that in birthdays. We do that in anniversaries. Why do you think human beings celebrate and give gifts? It's all pushing us together in community and relationship. Are you understanding this? And so you could sit there and you could say, as I become an expert in speaking all of these languages and discerning when they need to be spoken, where they need to be spoken, where we're deficient, how to bring those in, you're actually now intentionally forming long-lasting quality relationships. Go ahead and stand. We're going to close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we come to you and we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are giving us understanding on how we were made and how we thrive and how we work well together and how we build quality relationships. Lord, help us to get out of the posture of blaming everybody else for our lack of relationships. Lord, we have the ability to sow in our field, and we choose to sow the quality seeds of great relationships. Lord, help us to learn all of these languages. Help us to make the effort to listen for and to learn how to interpret and discern these languages. God, may Life Church be excellent at relationships with their spouses, with their kids, with their coworkers. Lord, with the world around us, may we be great at it, Jesus. Help us to be the change. Help us to be a new expression of what people can be in long-lasting, loving, committed relationships. God, I bless this house. I speak health over each and every one of their relationship circles today, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I want to give you all an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come into relationship with Him. The Bible tells us all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so today, if you're out of relationship with God, what God has been trying to communicate to you to a point of understanding is that He loves you. He's committed to you. He will not leave you or forsake you. And God is hoping that you feel that. You realize, next week I'll get into this a little bit more, but God speaks all five of those love languages to us. Words of affirmation. God speaks very well of you. Quality time. He is there. The presence of the Lord is there at all times, everywhere. Acts of service. He got on a cross and died for our sins, went to death, hell, and the grave for us. Gifts. He gave us the gift of salvation, gift of redemption. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding? Touch, the presence of the Lord, Christian brothers and sisters coming around you, lay hands on you, put their hand on your shoulder. God is doing all five of these love languages to communicate to you. He loves you and He's committed to you. And so today, for some reason or another, if you're not in right standing with God, if you don't have right relationship with Him, let's make it right before you go. If everyone bow your heads and close your eyes, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat. But if you say, Pastor Kevin, I've never given my life to Jesus. I can't remember a time I've asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. You might say, I'm out of relationship with God. It's a long story. I don't have time to tell it. But I would like to give my life to Jesus afresh today. If that's you, one or the other, I would love to pray a prayer for you right at your seat. On the count of three, if you would like to get your life right with God today, would you please slip up your hand? One, two, three. If that's you, slip your hand up. There's a hand in the back. Great. Second hand. Anybody else today? Pop your hand up wherever you are, and I would be honored to lead you in a prayer to receive relationship with the Lord. Anybody else today? All right, church, let's all pray together so no one's by themselves. Pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I realize I've sinned, and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you celebrate those two? It's pretty great. Amen.